Goodbye! Hello, Heisman!
20, 25, 30, 35,
40, 45, 50,
45. There goes Davis!
Oh, my God!
Davis is going to run it all the way back! Auburn's going to win the football game!
Deion Sanders is saying a whole lot of things, and Garrett today broke the news that he knows where his son Shadur and where Travis Hunter are going to be drafted in the NFL next year, not because he knows or is Nostradamus, but because he's going to be telling teams, no, you can't draft my son or his best friend. Welcome in, Three Technique College Football Podcast. At the intersection of the X's and O's and the Jimmies and the Joes. Garrett, this is preposterous behavior from one Deion Primetime Sanders. We've seen Eli Manning tell the San Diego Chargers, no, I'm not coming before. But we have never seen a dad say, no, you're not going to draft my son, or someone who's not related to me. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's pretty, I don't know. There's some audacity behind that one, man. That's something. See, because when you said off the top, you know, hey, Deion knows where these players are going. I was like, did he buy a DeLorean? Does he have a magic crystal ball? What's the trick here? How does he know? And then you mentioned, okay, he's just sitting here saying, okay, well, you know, I just will know and I'll influence it and however else. I understand from a father's perspective, wanting to make sure your son ends up in a good situation, right? But that's wanting to make sure, not over here being a guy saying, okay, well, I'm going to make sure that this happens. I know he's not going here. I know he's going over here, actually. Like, it's kind of not up to you. I know that, you know, the NFL is a tricky thing, but if you're, you know, a GM or a decision maker and you want a kid who's going to come in here, play quarterback, be super talented, whatever else, that's your job on the line. That's your livelihood. You're going to pick the best player available, whether or not somebody's dad says yes or no. Like, that's not really up to you. Now, obviously, there's a sort of, you know, backfire if he doesn't want to play there, or, you know, if that guy's coach just doesn't want him to play there, because that's what Travis Hunter is. It's just his coach. So, man, the audacity. This is pretty crazy. I just don't know what to say.
Some of the quotes from this, he went on a podcast. Mm-hmm. And had a couple of things to say. So, direct quotes. I know where I want them to go. So it's certain cities that ain't going to happen. It's going to be an Eli, end quote. Right off the top, the fact that Deion is saying, yeah, I'm going to be telling teams, no, you can't draft my son. We won't be signing with you. Or for Travis Hunter, again, who's not related. I know he thinks right. Prime is as a father figure. That's great.
Yep.
But he is not his legal guardian. And to be saying on behalf of somebody else, like what kind of position is Travis in to be going through this? And I'm sure he's on the same page, but man, optically, this is a weird look. This is ballsy even for Prime to be setting this precedent over a year away from the actual draft where they will be selected.
Well, and there's a couple things wrong with it. Number one, you're taking like actual dollars away from these players, right? Because assuming you're saying this, you're saying, oh, he's going to go to this place, not this place. You're, I think, essentially implying that he's going to get passed over by some teams and instead he'll get drafted lower. And there's lower slot values for those. Like there's lower signing bonuses. There's lower, like there's just a lot that goes into it where you're taking money away and eventually you're taking away like bonus money, or like if you sign outside of a certain number, then you're not eligible for certain stuff. Like, and so like you're taking money away from them first off by saying that, but also like if you, and we've seen this, if you're a star player for a, you know, maybe not quite as high tier program or high tier franchise in the NFL, you can make a lot of money by proving your value and then getting traded or signing a contract with somebody else. We've seen it happen over and over again. Right. If you want the model for Travis Hunter, look at Jalen Ramsey. Just go be him. Right. Go get drafted to somebody who's kind of bad and then get traded and win a Super Bowl. Like, this, it doesn't seem that tricky to me, right? So, like, to have the audacity to say that you can just influence that. And I know that Deion's a big deal. He's a Hall of Famer, right? He's an incredible football player. He did a really, really great job with his career. But to suggest that he's going to go and influence this, like, he can go talk to the guys that he knows and say, hey, you ought to draft this guy. But to say, like, oh, I'm going to walk into some GM's office and be like, don't draft him, you're just not drafting him, that's a little crazy.
Very, very strange. And, you know, he goes on in this interview basically to talk about how, well, I know people. I've got all these connections, so they're going to go wherever I want them to go. And he mentioned San Francisco, Dallas, Washington, Baltimore, all his preferred landing spots. If Deion's actually able to pull this off, he will break the draft, because essentially what he's saying is, you know what? No, the draft, I don't like that. My kid might go somewhere where he's not going to start or he's not going to win early on. And so I want this to actually just be free agency, go to the highest bidder, right? Because money actually isn't going to be an issue. He's going to have both of these guys are going to have so many brand deals, regardless of how good they are at the NFL level.
Right.
The media circus follows them around. So the dollars print themselves for both of these guys. But to challenge an entire system and say, nope, we're better than that, we're just going to decide where we go, this is the open market, that is a wild, wild statement that we have not seen since Eli told the Chargers, no, I will not play for you, trade me somewhere else. And then they obviously traded him to the New York Giants.
Well, and if he's mentioning his son getting playing time, why did he bring up San Francisco, Dallas, and Baltimore? Like, they've got quarterbacks. Like, you might not like a certain thing about them. And, you know, I know us here in Dallas, there's up and down opinions on Dak all the time. But, like, those teams have quarterbacks who are under contract and are going to be playing for a while. So, like, I don't know why you want to send your son there. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And, man, I just... The other thing about this that really bothers me is we're just assuming that these guys are going to be top-end picks. They project like they're going to get drafted pretty high, and that, you know, they'll get drafted and they'll be good players, but it's not unheard of for a player to fall apart during a season and watch his draft stock tank. That's something that can happen. What if, you know, and, you know, God forbid, but what if either of them have some kind of an injury that takes them off the field for a while? Are they still going to walk out and say, like, well, I know that I'm a first rounder. The question is, which awesome team do I get to play for? Like, you may not be in that position after this next year. There's also, especially with quarterbacks, like, regression. You know, star wide receivers can leave the team, making you, you know, look worse. Maybe you lose stuff on the offensive line and you look worse. Or maybe you just, you know, offenses figure or defenses figure you out. Right. There might just be opposing defenses this next year that, you know, all these teams in the Big 12, he's going to be playing the Big 12 this year.
Yeah,
maybe all these teams in the Big 12 are going to start looking around and say, oh, wait, we know how to defend this guy. You just do this. And then he has a really bad season in a transfer year against the Big 12. Like, that's not unheard of. That's not crazy. So why are we just assuming that it's a done deal at this point? Like, let the guys play it out. And then if you want to make this, you know, comment in a year, like, that's still crazy. But at least make it in a year when it's done and, like, final and they're definitely getting drafted that high. Don't do it now.
Yeah.
And then put that level of expectation on that. Like, these are the kinds of headlines we're going to come back to in the middle of October when Colorado's won, like, one game and, you know, Shitter has more picks than he has touchdowns or something like that. This is what we'll come back to at that point in time, and they'll get laughed out of the building.
You know, both guys are great college players. They're great, phenomenal athletes. But success in college does not necessarily translate to the NFL. I mean, just ask Zach Wilson, who is maybe being relegated to practice squad duty for the New York Jets, right? I mean, there were folks that were saying he was the top overall quarterback a couple of years ago. He's athletic, he's mobile, he can sling it a mile, and it just hasn't worked out. So you're right. Being presumptive is absolutely no way to make a living in the NFL. I think on top of all of that, what makes maybe the last 24 hours just all the more frustrating for those of us who are unbiased, not fans of Colorado, not enemies of Colorado, just can put two and two together and see a team for what it's worth, is seeing Shadur get up in front of the media and lambast 6A football here in the state of Texas and other athletes who were rated higher than him in high school, that played a better brand of football than him in high school, and he's trying to paint himself like this underdog, like this out of nowhere, pulled himself up by his bootstraps, and you know what? I've outlasted all those guys. I was compared to all these guys that played 6A, and they were better than me. I don't see many of those guys in the NFL. Like, first of all, what?
What are we saying?
Second of all, as Joe Hoyt from, I guess, Lone Star News is what he's at now, mm-hmm. he tweeted this out, and I retweeted this on our Twitter account. Brilliant point. I think this is absolutely the story here. He said, I'll share something that I learned in journalism school. Some people aren't an underdog, and that's okay. But the mistake is then trying to make someone an underdog. Shedeur Sanders trying to paint himself as this underdog that's come from nothing is just so preposterous. It's like, dude, everybody knows who you are. Everyone knows who your dad is. You've been set up for success, had every single resource given to you your entire life. That doesn't mean you haven't had to work for stuff. But please do not compare yourself to some inner city kid coming from Dallas or Houston who literally has built everything he's ever had. And his one hope for making it out of whatever his circumstance is, improving his family's life, is football. Because that's not your story.
Well, and even just take it off of 6A. Like, just a couple of the guys that I can think of. So, Jalen Hurts, he was 6A, and he'd won a Super Bowl. And so that's not nobody. Another couple of guys I can think of. I know Kyler Murray was 6A.
Hurts hasn't won a Super Bowl, but
Hurts, was he not with them when they?
No.
Oh no, wait, yeah, but he's been in the Super Bowl. He's been at the Super Bowl, and he's played for a Super Bowl team. He's also, like, let's be real, the Eagles are probably going to win in the next couple of years, anyways. But let's be real, he's a stalwart in the NFL. Kyler Murray also hasn't won a Super Bowl, but is playing in the NFL and has been extremely right. good up to this point. A couple of those guys, if you want to talk about a couple of guys as well, Milroe, last I checked, he was 6A, and he just made it to the college football playoff. Also, Quinn Ewers was in the college football playoff this last year as well. And so if we're really just going to talk about a couple of players that have, like, been at a certain level, I don't want to hear it from Colorado's quarterback right now. Like, if you're going to go out there and talk trash, like, you're this underdog, right? And again, you're talking, like, don't make him an underdog. He's complaining he came from nothing, but Deion's the best corner maybe in NFL history. And, like, he's complaining about it because he's at a private school. It's not like he's right. coming up from, like, a, you know, small, like, North Dakota's, you know, lowest division of football where it's like there's, you know, six-man football and stuff like that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a private school kid who private schools have resources, and he certainly had resources being Deion's son. And so, like, you're doing well for yourself, right? He's an easy guy to root for, right? He's bringing Colorado up from the one-win team, right? This
yes.
It'd be easy to root for him if he would just keep his mouth shut on some of this stuff. Like, he's this me against the world. Like, talk your talk, but back it up. And don't act right. like you're better than people who have currently been there and you're not there yet. Like, if he goes and wins a Super Bowl in the next couple of years, fantastic. Shut us all up. But, like, you're not that guy. You're not him. Not yet. You might
not
be,
yet.
But you're not him.
Not yet. You have not done anything special yet in your college football career. Nothing compared to... compared to your peers, compared to these other 6A guys that, oh, well, where'd they go? You just haven't done anything all that special. Let's be real. Is he a very good player? Yes, of course. Do I think he would go second overall in this year's draft like Deion claimed? No, I really don't. But aside from all of that, you just step back and you look at what he's accomplished. Not that much. Mm-hmm. Not that much. So, like you said, the point of all of this is that the future may be very bright for both of these guys. And honestly, I will not be shocked if it isn't,
yeah.
Or I won't be shocked if it is very bright,
yeah, because it'll be great.
Both of them are so talented, so gifted athletically, but oh my gosh, this circus, it reminds me of the LaVar Ball saga, right? I mean, Caleb Williams' dad may be doing some of the same things, but in the Ball's situation, kids really weren't doing anything that made you want to root against them, but you kind of were rooting for their downfall because of how annoying LaVar was. In this situation, it's like, man, it's really hard to root for anybody involved because Prime won't shut up. And now Shadur is just publicly throwing his competition under the bus like he's better than them. That's not how I played, any form of athletics. That's not what I root for. So for me, I'm out. I'm out on Colorado. We just did an episode on sports hate watching. Colorado is a team that's dangerously close to a team that I'm like, you know what? I'd really just would rather you lose. Don't want the headlines.
Dude, the LeVar Ball comparison is the perfect comparison because, again, these are a couple of guys who, with Lonzo and LaMelo, these are guys who were bound for the NBA. We knew they were going to be good players and contributors, but their dad talked them up so much that all they could really do is fail. And now, regardless of their career stats, regardless of whatever they accomplished, whatever else, like, they seem like a disappointment because they weren't Michael Jordan, right? That's not fair. Don't put your kids in that position. Like, at the end of the day, like, I know that they're young men, but they're still, like, kind of at that kids level where they're just starting to figure out the world around them. So, like, don't put these kids in that position. Don't put them in the position. And don't do it to yourself, right? Get the toxic out of your head, out of your ear. Just go play football. And yeah, talk your trash, right? Like, talk trash. I love trash talk. I love it when people want to trash on people and you get these crazy headlines. It gives us plenty of stuff to talk about. Sure. But, like, understand who you are in the position you're in right now because you're not there. Another one that I just thought, Baker Mayfield, he was another guy that's, one of those 6'8 guys that's made it through. And Stafford, I mean, you can go up and down the list. I know Pat Mahomes played football in Texas. It wasn't at the higher levels, but, another guy who's another Texas football project. So don't act like, you're those guys, right? There's a lot of Super Bowls, a lot of, even if it's not Super Bowl championships or it's appearances at the very least, like, come on, don't pretend that you're him when you're not yet. Let yourself become that guy and don't get a little too big for your britches.
Totally agree. Are we off base? Are you not annoyed? Do you love this? Are you encouraged by this? Do you lean into the drama and the headlines? Let us know down in the comments at 3TechPod on Instagram and Twitter as well.
I want to say this, and I know that based on our previous Colorado videos, we're going to get some Colorado hate on this one. Like, bring it. Tell us we're wrong. Tell us we're stupid. Y'all told us last year y'all were winning 8 games minimum, and it turns out it's 1-0 us, so bring it. Come on. Let's even the score. Let's do a rubber match next year. Come on.
We did absolutely nail that projection, 4-8 on Colorado. Let us know. Write in at 3TechPod, Instagram, Twitter, obviously in the YouTube comments as well. Thanks for hanging out with us. He's Garrett Turney. I'm Mitch Mason. Until next time, so long, everybody.
Gracious, how about that?